I'm just going to give you a couple of thoughts, really, just to help us to focus on this Advent season. We're going to read together, and then I'm just going to bring out a couple of thoughts from this passage of Scripture. It's a really well-known passage. It's one that's read every Christmas without fail, at least once. But I hope that as we look at it together this evening, we'll find a couple of new things that we haven't seen before. So let's look at Luke chapter 2. The overall title this evening is The Light Has Come. My little subheading is just at that moment, because we're going to look at two incidences where Mary had a meeting with people and what happened with Mary during those meetings. So let's read from Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start reading from verse 6. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as they had been told them. And when the 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses was complete, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou hast let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at these things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Pheniel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continuing to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So I want to just look at these two little incidents that happened to Mary and Joseph. So we sort of, I think we sometimes, this is just my opinion, that we romanticize what happened with Mary and Joseph a little bit around Christmas time. We see these lovely little stables and Mary and Joseph and clean straw and a baby and all these things. But I really love looking at the characters of people and maybe trying to put myself in their shoes and see what was going on and how they must have felt. So Mary and Joseph have seen angels, they've been given promises, but they've also experienced a lot of criticism, rejection. I'm sure they were laughed at, they were judged because of their faithfulness to God, and they had to live out an unbelievable story. For people around them and going and saying to their family and friends, well, I've been visited by an angel and this is what they said and we've had a dream and this is what God's told us is going to happen. You can imagine how difficult that must have been for this couple. And they would have had a lot of fun made of them, a lot of criticism. They'd gone against their family and their friends, and Joseph, I'm sure, would have been advised by his friends not to bother marrying Mary. It went against the traditions of the day and the laws of the day. You can put our next slide up there, please, Kerry. Now, to top all that, even though they've had this wonderful experience of dreams and visions of angels and angels meeting with them, they've now got to travel 90 miles on foot while she's pregnant. When they get there, there's no nice warm inn for them. Nobody's waiting to greet them. There wasn't a midwife on standby or a nicely prepared cot with lots of hot water and clean linen. Now, I just think for Mary and for Joseph, and maybe this is just me, I'd have been going, why? Why, if I'm going to give birth to the Son of God, why is God's timing not right? Why did he wait till I'm nearly ready to give birth to this baby and I've got to travel 90 miles? That timing can't be right. And when I get there, why hasn't God gone before me and saved me a bed somewhere in a nice room with maybe, you know, a midwife, just happened to be handy, and all the things that I need? But they get there and there's nowhere for them. There's nowhere to stay apart from a stable. And there's a lot of animals around because a lot of people have travelled. So the stables would have been pretty full too. It wasn't the arrival that they were expecting. And I wondered to myself, did they feel a little bit neglected or forgotten about? Or a little bit confused, or even desperate. God, you know, we're doing this. We've been faithful to what you said. And now we're in a difficult situation here. What's happening? And that can sound a little bit familiar to all of us, I think. Sometimes we can think that maybe God's forgotten us. He's forgotten his promises. And sometimes we can feel that the circumstances are out of our control. But why hasn't God fixed it? Why isn't he putting things right? He said he would. You know, I'm trying to walk faithfully, but things just don't seem to be working out right. But God shows up in a miraculous way. Mary and Joseph don't see it or hear it, but it's not far away that this thing's happening. And on the hillside not far away, heaven was on display. Something wonderful was happening. Even though they were in the darkest of stables, the light had come. So what about these shepherds? And this is one of those things that maybe I think we romanticize a bit as well. So we've got some shepherds that are watching their sheep in some fields close by. So these shepherds were given this heavenly vision. Suddenly, these angels appear. Now, I've always said this, if I could choose one time in the whole of Scripture that I could just be just for 1 minute, I don't know what your minute would be, have a little think, where would you go? If I said to you, right, you can choose 1 minute in the whole of the Bible that you just want to show up, to be able to stand on the sidelines and watch it happen, where would it be? Well, my 1 minute would be to be standing in that field or somewhere around and watch this one angel come and talk, and then this heavenly host, this piece of heaven, come down and celebrate the birth of God's Son. I think it must have been absolutely mind-blowing to these poor shepherds. But these shepherds were no ordinary shepherds. They were looking after some very special sheep. Because in the Mishnah, which is the Jewish oral traditions, or the oral Torah, or the law study books, it actually says that no sheep can be kept around Bethlehem unless they were sacrificial sheep and lambs. So these shepherds that were looking after these sheep were no ordinary shepherds. These were specialized shepherds. I don't know if you can have specialized shepherds, but you can. These were specialized shepherds. They were looking for specific lambs that were being born, because these were the lambs that were used for the Passover. So it says that they were looking after their sheep. And what they're doing is they do day and night shifts, and they're rotating, and they're looking after these sheep, because when the lambs are born, now I feel like I'm talking to some crofters here, please don't shoot me down. When the lambs are born, quite often twins are born. Is that right, Jane? Twins come along. So the shepherds had to make sure that they were there for every ewe that lambed, because it had to be the firstborn that was used for the Passover. And it also had to be a lamb that was perfect and without blemish. So when the first lamb came out, they used to have pieces of red cord that they would fasten around the first lamb and hope it was a male and hope it was perfect and without blemish. Then they would wrap them in swaddling cloths and keep them clean, wipe them down. And then sometimes it says that they would put them in a manger or a feeding trough, because they had to be without blemish and perfect. So they were well looked after. They were precious. They were set aside for a special purpose. So these were special shepherds and special sheep. Now, we're thinking back to Mary and Joseph, are back in the stable. And they've just had this baby. They're still a little bit wondering what's going on, but they're absolutely in awe and wonder at this child that they've got, just as any parents would be. And there's a knock on the door. Now, quite often we hear about these shepherds, the poor and lowly shepherds that came along, who were carrying a lamb under each arm, you know, as a present for me. I can't find it anywhere, but apparently they came along with a lamb under each arm, you know, as a present, and they come and they worship. Well, they did come, but they didn't come bearing gifts like that. But they did come with something far more precious. They brought with them the encouragement that Mary and Joseph desperately needed. It says they came in and they told Mary and Joseph all that they had seen and everything that had happened on the hillside not far away. The taste of heaven that they got was just at the time when Jesus was born. And I think they would have been confused. You know, why are these people coming? What's happening? But I'm nearly sure that when these shepherds came down, Mary and Joseph would have known who they were. They wouldn't have known them personally, but they would have known that these shepherds were the shepherds that cared for the Passover lambs, because those are the ones, the only ones that would have been around Bethlehem at that time, the ones that had their sheep close by. So they knew that these shepherds had a special job. And they share everything to Mary of what had happened. And it says in verse 19 that Mary treasured these things in her heart. And I just think, what an encouragement to this woman, this young woman who's just had this baby, who's been given these promises, who might have been wondering what's going on. And these men come down and they say, we've come to see the Christ child. We've come to see the Messiah. You see, heaven was rejoicing when the stable was dark. God is always at work, even when we can't see, and he never forgets his children. And he loves to encourage us and bless us, whoever we are. So what was the importance of the visit? Well, first of all, the shepherds had to come to disclose what had happened outside the stable. Heaven was celebrating. And Mary and Joseph must have been blown away by this news. You know, they wouldn't have been surprised that they'd seen angels, because both of them had seen angels not long before. So, but not seeing angels on this scale, that was just amazing. To remind Mary and Joseph that God had a plan, even when you can't see it, even when you feel like you're in a stable environment, a place that is dark, and you don't understand the situation around you, God has a plan, and heaven is still at work. Do you know the other thing that they needed to do? It's so they could come and witness the firstborn son without blemish, perfect, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. These were the priestly shepherds. It is only right that the ones who would be choosing the Passover lambs, the ones that recognized a Passover lamb in its purity, that it was the firstborn and perfect, should be the ones who would come down to that stable and see the Passover lamb that was Jesus. Don't you think that's amazing? Absolutely wonderful. So it's right that they came. So Mary was encouraged, and it says she pondered those things in her heart. And that actually means weighed or contemplated or thought about constantly. And it's actually battled with. All those words there refer to that word there, that she treasured these things in her heart. Actually means that she mulled them over constantly. So then the next bit of the story is that after that, that they have to go up to the temple 40 days later. So we can go on to our next thing. Now, this is just a little besides, and I tell people in our precept group, whenever there's a number or anything that's repeated over and over again, then you have a responsibility to go and find out what that means. But I'm going to give you some tips on the 40. If there's a number, find out what it refers to and what it means. Well, the number 40, I'm going to give you a few here and you can have a little think about it. At the flood, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Moses was on probation, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the desert, and 40 years with Israel in the wilderness. The spies were 40 days spying out the land, and Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness. The reigns of Saul, David, and Solomon each lasted 40 years. Goliath defied Israel for 40 days. Nineveh was given 40 days to repent, and Elijah fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was tempted 40 days and appeared 11 times during 40 days after his resurrection. Punishment was flogging, and it was limited to, it was for 40 stripes, save one. All these instances show that God was not hasty in his judgment, but gives man ample time for a fair trial. So I'm going to give you some P's. 40 was for purification, preparation, punishment, and probation. So whenever you see a number like that, I would always encourage you, find out what's so special about that number. In our story, it was 40 days, means that there was purification. And they came along to the temple. Now, there are six main characters in the Christmas story, spirit-filled characters. There's Zachariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna. Now, you've got to realise that Mary and Joseph are going up to the temple with their two turtle doves or their little pigeons or whatever they had, and they were bringing with them this 40-day-old baby son, their firstborn boy. For the Jewish family, this was exceptionally special. When they arrive at the temple, it's an everyday occurrence at the temple. I just need to say that. Every single day at the temple, families would have been coming with their children to offer two turtle doves or two pigeons. This wasn't like there was nobody in the temple and Mary and Joseph just arrived, you know, with the baby and there was nobody there. And it would have been heaving. It was a busy place with the temple. There would have been lots of couples coming in with their babies, bringing in their sacrifices, showing off, you know. I mean, let's face it, as grandparents we show off. You will look at my picture of my grandchild smiling, you know, everybody will see it. And we like that. You've got a new baby, everybody wants to see it. And there would have been lots of people coming round and, oh, what did you have, you know. And they would have been coming with their little sacrifice and with their baby. On their way in, they meet Simeon. Now it says that Simeon had been told that he wouldn't die until he'd seen the Christ child. Now on this, he's not a priest. He's not somebody that stays in the temple all the time. He's at home. But it says by the Spirit, he's told to go into the temple that day. And he's faithful. He's close enough to God to be able to hear his voice, which is really important. And he comes to the temple, and out of all these couples that are here with their children to bring their turtle doves or their pigeons, he sees Mary and Joseph. And he picks them out, and he walks up to them, and he takes hold of this baby, and he says, "Now I can die. Now, Lord, you can take me home, for I have seen your son. I have seen the Christ child." Wow. What an absolute blessing for Mary and Joseph to be picked out. You know, Simeon came there often, I'm sure. I don't know how well known he was. They obviously didn't know him. But he recognized the Son of God. And he picks him up there and he blesses him. And he just says, wow, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ child. But then he turns to Mary. Doesn't he? And what does he say to Mary? He says in verse 35, well, 34 and 35, it says to Mary, "And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." And I thought, wow, poor Mary, she's on such a roller coaster, you know. She's in a stable, then these shepherds come and she's reminded of God's promises. And then she goes for... And she sees Simeon, and Simeon's blessing him. And then the next thing, he turns to this young mom and says, "But a sword is going to pierce your heart with this child." And I think, whoa, thank you. I don't know what she must have felt there, you know, holding this baby. But the wonderful thing about God is, and this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it says, it tells us a little bit about Anna. And there's this woman, she's 84 years old. She's been widowed a long time, but she's in and out. She's a prophetess. She spends all her days and nights at the temple. She fasts and she prays, and she would have been well known. People would have known who Anna was. And it says in verse 38, this little thing, "And at that moment, just as Simeon has said this thing to Mary that was so hard to take," it says, just at that moment, Anna comes on the scene and she comes up to them and she takes this baby and she starts praising God and announcing to anybody who will hear, "This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the Christ child." Can you imagine what people around would have thought and heard? This is the woman, Anna, who's a prophetess. They're used to seeing her around. She's well respected. They know that if she prays and fasts for something, God answers. They've seen her ministry. They've seen her work. And she's declaring. Where is she declaring that this is the Christ child? Where is she saying that this is the Messiah? In the place that it should be. They're in the temple. And she's saying to people, this is it. And I'm sure at that point, Mary must have been bursting with pride and love, and so thankful for the encouragement that was given to her by Anna. You see, they were all looking for a saviour. They were all looking for a Messiah. The shepherds, they were doing the Passover lamb, but they were looking for a Messiah. Anna and Simeon, they were both looking for the Messiah, and they got to see. I don't know whether you're looking for a saviour, if you know the saviour, but he is the one who is faithful beyond words and who loves us without limits. And we have a Father God who delights in blessing, and he loves to encourage. In our darkest times, he is the light that brings life. In our confused times, he is in control. In our loneliest times, he is always there. And in our times of struggling, he has gone before. I would encourage you, whatever age you are, to be an encourager, because we all need a little bit of encouragement sometimes, don't we? However old we are, however young we are, be ready to be an encourager. But also be ready to be encouraged from the most unexpected sources sometimes. And really be aware that whatever situation you're in, God is completely in control. In the darkest place, heaven still is rejoicing and shining bright. And I was thinking, just as we were singing that next to last song, at Christmas time, we remember Jesus coming as a baby. The most fragile thing that could ever be on earth is a baby. It's completely dependent on whoever's looking after it. It can't look after itself. And he did come as a baby, and we've got witnesses for that. We've got this lovely account of how Jesus came. But I'm also reminded that he will come again. And in our study in Revelation, my word, when he comes next time, we will know about it. It's not as a little baby. He will come back as a judging, reigning king with his kingdom and with his people. And it will be a most, we said, a bittersweet experience for those that know the Lord. What a time of blessing and rejoicing it will be. We'll have that taste of heaven that the shepherds had. And I just think, I hope it encourages us and it helps us to look this Christmas time at the Christmas story in a different way. That it is a baby, but it is the long-awaited Messiah, the one who came to be the sacrifice for you and me. We have so much to be thankful for at this Christmas time. And just ask that God will bless his word and each one of us here this evening.